Last Sunday evening, brothers and sisters, we began to look together at the book of Joshua and Joshua chapter 1. And I'd like to invite you to turn there with me again. And we saw how the Lord called and commissioned Joshua to lead the people of God into the promised land. And the great encouragement that he and we are given is that the Lord does not change. Whatever the circumstances and challenges and whatever may come, the Lord does not change in his promises, his covenant, his law, and his goodness to us. And so whatever else may come, we can rest and have confidence in this. He does not change. Well, I'd like us to turn again to chapter 1, but this evening to focus on just one part. And if you look with me at verses 7 to 8, you'll see there as part of the instruction that the Lord gives Joshua, he says, "Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." So as Joshua is preparing himself for this incredible challenge of the conquest of Canaan, the Lord tells him the secret to success. The secret to their success, that they will be prosperous, really meaning that they will take the land, that the kingdom of God will go forward. The Lord says the secret to that success is follow the word of God. Follow the word of God. And he calls on Joshua to know his word and to love his word. And to do his word. All that God has said, written down in the scriptures. And then he and God's people will be blessed. Joshua, this has to come first. This is the priority. Know God's word. Love God's word. Do God's word. And of course, by successful, the Lord means not just that they'll win a few battles. That's not what's going on here in the conquest. This is a spiritual battle. This is the kingdom of God coming out against forces of darkness and nations and peoples who were given over to darkness. And so Joshua, it's not just about defeating them by the sword. It's about Israel being a holy people, doing God's will, truly being a different kind of kingdom, a different land. It's about defeating the forces of idolatry, of unbelief, of violence, of sin, and of death, and that Israel will walk with God. That's the success here, spiritual success. And the only way is be faithful to God's word, is the only way. Let me put it this way. Did the Lord say to Joshua, "What you really need is you need to go off to the College of Generals. You need to go read Sun Tzu's Art of War. Or maybe I need to show you, Joshua, how to build really awesome war machines and chariots that will demolish your enemies." No. Because you could win all of those battles, but if you don't know God and it's not his kingdom, then we're no better off. No, all that really matters in the end is doing God's will and listening to his voice. Everything else will come from this. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be added to you. And so there is nothing more important than living by the word of God. Now, of course, brothers and sisters, if you can call it a secret, this is the secret to living the Christian life today. This is how to be a fruitful, loving Christian. to be a Christian who does God's will. This is how to avoid spiritual shipwreck. If you want to overcome the devil and the flesh and the world, and if you want to make a difference for God and serve your generation, you want to truly see the kingdom advance, if in the little bit of time you've got in this life before eternity, you want to do all that you can for the Lord, the only way is you must cleave to his word. You must know his word and love his word and do his word. Now, the first key point I really want to show you is just very simply that Joshua did indeed have God's word in his hands, as do we. It says in verse 8, he is to keep the book of the law. The book of the law given through God's servant Moses. Now don't miss how significant this is. You see, the Lord spoke to Moses, the great deliverer, as we looked at last time, the great leader who'd now gone and died. The Lord spoke with Moses face to face. Moses was given the most incredible experience of God and revelations. He was taken up on the mountaintop into the glory of God. And in visions and wonders, he saw God. But that's not all. That's not the only way that God gave his revelation. But Moses was instructed to write down what God said so that it could be preserved and passed on to God's people. Not just that God revealed his will, God ensured that it was written down. Not just spoken to the prophets, but through the prophets, inspired the Holy Scriptures, given in writing. And it's that Joshua is now to devote himself to. You see, in this sense, perhaps for the first time in the history of redemption up to this point, Joshua is in a situation a bit like ours. We too hear from the Lord through the Scriptures. We are not going to have the kind of experiences that Moses had. That's not the norm week after week, that you go up a mountaintop and enter the direct glory of God and hear his voice and see him face to face. Now, in the conquest, there were a few amazing special moments when God came to the Lord before the Battle of Jericho, for example. But understand this, most of the time, the normal experience, year after year, day after day, is Joshua is to look to the Scriptures to guide him, for God to speak to him. That's how the revelation was to come. And of course, that's how it is for the vast majority of God's people who've ever been, were to look to God's word in the Scriptures. The ordinary, although they are extraordinary, the ordinary means of grace. Brothers and sisters, what I'm saying to you is the Bible is a miracle. This is the Word of God. It's the living Word of God. The Bible's divine author is the Holy Spirit. And he is the same Holy Spirit who's with us now. And so it's not as if he just set the words down on a page long ago and then it's just passed on to us. He is still speaking. The living Holy Spirit is still speaking through these same words. Whenever we're opening up its pages and hearing it taught and preached, the Holy Spirit is speaking to us and taking us at work through them. So how blessed we are. Do you know how blessed you are, even compared to Joshua? How blessed you are that you have the Word of God in your hands. As Psalm 19 said, it's more precious than gold or silver. It's sweeter than the sweetest honey. Here is the wisdom of God. Here is the sword of the Spirit. Now this instruction to Joshua, it should remind you that God's revelation in the Scriptures is progressive and permanent. Progressive in the sense, well, we have more of God's word than Joshua did. Presumably, at this point, Joshua has the five books of Moses, the first five books in your Bible, Genesis through to Deuteronomy. But of course, Revelation didn't stop there. It progressed on as the plan of salvation continued. And we have far more. The writings of the rest of the prophets, the books of wisdom, and all coming to its culmination in the New Testament scriptures, culminating in the work of the Lord Jesus himself, and then written down by his apostles. See, it's progressive in the sense that more and more of God and more of the truth was revealed over time. Now, there's no errors, there's no contradictions, there's no changes, but there is this one story of God saving the world, progressing on. So of course, because of that, different parts of God's word speak to us in different ways as the scriptures were revealed progressively over time, that the plan went forward. I mean, just very obviously, you are not called to pick up a sword and go charging into what is modern day Israel to invade it. But at the same time, all of God's word is permanent. It is forever. It's unchanging. It's not to be changed. And all of it is relevant to us and is for us. Whether it's God's law, his moral standards, teaching us how to live and convicting us of sin, hasn't changed. Or his promises of Christ and salvation, that we can be saved through receiving him by faith, hasn't changed. The testimony, the experiences of the saints, their victories and their failures, for us to learn from them, all of it is for us. And it is forever. And there's nothing else like it. This is God's word. And this is what Joshua was to live by. This was the most important thing for the conquest. So what was Joshua? What are we supposed to do then with this gift of God's word? Well, the first thing, brethren, is you must know God's word. You must study it. You must understand it. You must carefully think about it and ponder it. The Lord says to Joshua, he must meditate upon it day and night. And I particularly just want to challenge all the young people and the children that are here tonight, that as you're thinking about the future and who you're going to be as a person, what you're going to do with your life and the choices that come, the best thing, the most blessed, most wonderful thing you can do in your life is devote yourself to the Word of God. That you'll say, this is my book. I'm going to be a person of one book, so to speak. This is what my life will be about. But we have to study it. We have to meditate upon it. Now that word meditate, it doesn't mean emptying your mind like Eastern meditation. It's quite the opposite. Biblical meditation is about filling yourself, filling your mind and your heart with the truth of God's word, running it through your mind, thinking about it, wrestling with it, searching it. It means you've got to put in the hard yards of studying scripture. Now, the Lord can give us understanding. Of course, he's gracious, but most of the time, he wants us to put some effort in. He wants us to learn. How does it all fit together? What are the doctrines that are revealed? What's the theology of scripture? And we're to grow in our understanding. But much more than that, we're to know God's word in such a way it profoundly shapes you and molds you, becomes part of you and shapes how you think. And not just think about obviously religious things, but how you think about everything. That it becomes ingrained in you. You know the great Puritan John Bunyan, who wrote Pilgrim's Progress and had an amazing ministry, even 13 years in Bedford jail, God used him. It was said of him that if you cut him, he would bleed Bible. Because the words of Scripture, the thinking of Scripture was there constantly, all that he said and did. So it's about much more than just understanding the facts and the figures and reciting things from memory. It means that you so embrace God's word, you so know it, The Holy Spirit is writing it on your heart and on your conscience, that it changes you. Meditation is that practice you take hold of. This is the Word of God, and it is for me. It can help to be disciplined about it. To have a disciplined approach to setting time aside to study the Word. We're just so bombarded by distractions. But when you come to the Scriptures, you're coming to sit down to meet with God. And perhaps some days we won't have much time. Some days we'll have much more. But we're not going to get there unless we're disciplined and make it a priority. One helpful way to practice heartfelt meditation is to pray as you read. To pray over each line. To ask of a verse, is this God promising me something? Then let me ask for it. Is the Lord commanding me to do something? Let me pray for the grace to do it. Is it a sin it's telling me to avoid? Pray that you will. Is it something glorious it's telling you about God, his eternity, his power? Then let that lead you instantly to worship. Turn it all into prayer line by line. If you would really know it and have God write it on your heart. But then the second thing is, Joshua, is to love God's word. We're to love it. And by that I mean you've got to be loyal to God's word. Joshua is commanded not to turn from it to the right hand or the left. What a great image that is, isn't it? There's going to be all these temptations that are going to come from different directions. Joshua, faithfully stick to God's word no matter what. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. Don't deviate even in the small things. Be zealous to cleave to it. Now, it's no wonder, is it, that God says to Joshua he needs courage. Courage to keep to his word like that. There's going to be so many pressures on Joshua from the world, from the other Israelites. Oh, come on, Joshua. Surely that little bit of idol of gold I'm taking out of the city, come on, that's all right, isn't it? What harm is it? Just a tiny thing. Look, it's okay, isn't it, if I take that Canaanite wife and, you know, her religion into our home? What harm is there in it? Joshua's going to have to be courageous to stand for all that God says, to not deviate. And this is a matter of the heart, again, Christian. Will you be loyal to all that God says like that? What God says I will do, that's it. You know, when you're charting a course on a map, even if you're just half a degree out at the beginning, the further you go on in the journey, the greater that distance from your destination is going to be. And that first little step where you ignore God's word, when the Holy Spirit touches your conscience and you go, oh no, I'm going to ignore that. I know what I really want to do. That could seem like such a small thing, but it could lead you to being very far from the Lord. Don't turn to the right or the left if God's word says it. I imagine we've all seen a sobriety test. You know, when the police pull somebody over and they suspect that they've been drunk driving, and you know, one of the tests they apply is just simply, can they walk in a straight line? Or will they be wobbling around to the right and the left? If I'm honest, brethren, I think there's quite a few wobbly Christians about today. You just veer right and left when it comes to following God's word. And the Christian who's determined to stick to it, no matter what, is often sadly looked on as a bit of a strange person. So what about you? What does your heart sit tonight? Will you wholly commit, Lord, this is your word, I will do it. Not deviating to the right or the left. And you know the kind of attacks that come as well. From on the right hand or on one direction, there's always the liberal, unbelieving attacks on Scripture. But the criticisms of the Bible, oh, you know, it's just myth. It's full of errors. It's got contradictions in it. And Jesus and the apostles, they didn't actually write any of it, and so on. Well, obviously, we know that's nonsense. But on the other hand, there can be the attacks where someone knows everything the Scripture's saying, but a bit like the Pharisees this morning, in completely the wrong spirit, and completely miss the main thing, which is Jesus Christ, God's gift of grace and salvation, and end up going in all kinds of rabbit trails, following strange theories and conspiracy theories, and focusing on little details and strange things in prophecies, and are becoming very legalistic about minutiae and things of the law that don't apply to us, and missing it's about Jesus Christ and the gospel. So again, brothers and sisters, it's about the attitude of your heart towards the Bible. Being faithful is a matter of the heart. Do you come to the Scriptures to place yourselves under them, to hear what God says? Or do you come with a critical spirit like a judge over them, to analyze them and say, well, I'll take this and not that? The right posture. I suppose to use one of the images of the Song of Songs is to come and sit under this great fruitful tree and sit under its shade and to come and eat from its fruit, to be under the Word of God. That is the posture of the loving, loyal Christian heart. And then finally, brethren, I must challenge you. We're to obey God's Word. You've actually got to do what it says. And twice the Lord says this to Joshua. He must observe to do all the law. He's actually got to put it into practice. And maybe this is the hardest bit, because we know what God's word says. We just don't do it. In the words of the New Testament, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. If anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. Or even more seriously, the Lord Jesus says, if we love him, we will keep his commandments. Why do you call me Lord, but not do what I say? Head knowledge of the Scriptures, and you could even be a doctrinal genius, if it's not shown in a life of love and of service and obedience to Christ, a life of holiness, prayer, of the Scriptures, it's all in vain. All in vain. If you don't live it, if you don't obey it. Just knowing the Scriptures but not doing them, well, it's a bit like getting all dressed up in expensive clothes and all your finery, ladies in the makeup or jewelry, and then you just sit in your armchair at home, putting on a great show, but all to no purpose. So brothers and sisters, we must obey what God calls us to do. And so this is the challenge to us. Here's Joshua, right at the start of the conquest. This is the key to success. Live by God's word. So where's your heart at this evening? Are you studying the Scriptures? Are you praying them? Do you love them? Are you determined to obey them? Are you fruitfully doing what they say? What would be the ultimate success as a Christian? Well, that when you cross the Jordan of death and you come to meet Christ and enter the kingdom, and he would say, well done, good and faithful servant. That would be success. May God help us